I betcha that almost all of us, or what we have in common, is that we sought out a richer understanding of the idea of spirituality or God when we had been knocked down. And that arriving at this place, if this is your permanent home, is part of getting back up again. It certainly was true in my case. And I won't claim it for everybody, but I bet you that's something that we have in common. This teaching that we engage in is called the science of mind. And we're going to have class today. I'm not going to give you an inspirational talk. We're having class. Science of mind, traditionally or habitually, we said, what is science of mind? Well, it's a faith, it's a philosophy, it's a floor wax. It's, what the heck? Is it a church? Not really, but it is. And is it a, please. It's a practice, is what it is. It's a practice. And one of the reasons I feel pretty okay about the change, the technical change, where we now call ourselves the Center for Spiritual Living, is because a long time ago, I decided to reframe the idea of affirmative prayer treatment from a technique of getting something that I needed at a time of distress to a practice, to a way of living, to a discipline, if you will, a discipline being that I would be a disciple of a particular idea or a particular way of being in the world. There's nothing that goes on here that is a have to. As you know, everything is a get to. You don't have to do anything. But in the teaching that I want to do in the long run, and especially today, is to keep reminding myself and all who have ears to hear that treatment, prayer, is a practice more than a healing technique, more than something that would prosper you in a time of want. It is something that we do every day. Why would we do that? Why do we do that every day? If you choose to. We had a class on Tuesday night, which was terrific. Who was there in class on Tuesday night? Did we love that?
Yeah.
Loved that. Kusala Bhikshu, teaching about Buddhism. And one of the things that he mentioned in the context of last Tuesday night's discussion was that what many, if not all, spiritual philosophies have in common is we do have a notion of an ongoingness, be it called a soul or whatever the word might be, but we do hold in common this idea that there is something of us that is eternal, that was and is now having an experience here and yet will go on again. And we spend most of our time here, which is oh so short compared to however long eternity might be, the 60, 70, 80, 90 years that most of us have, not all. We spend most of it trying to make our life convenient and trying to avoid unpleasant things and trying by prayer, not supplication, in our case, affirmative prayer even, to heal that which we want to have healed in this lifetime for the sake of our physical sense or our financial ease. But how much time are we devoting to that part of us that's going to be going on for eternity? How much of our daily activity is devoted to that thing that sought to be here on this planet, to have this lifetime, and is going to go on to something else? But are we really aware of that, and are we working all things together so that our soul, if you want, consciousness, would be enhanced and be ready for the next experience? We don't generally think about that much in Western spirituality. But what we have in common in Science of Mind with the perennial philosophy is that we do indeed hold a notion of an ongoingness. And there are things that we can be doing to enhance our capacity of our soul, of our mind, so that it might be even better able to take advantage of the next thing that happens. Does this make sense? Science of Mind is supposed to make sense. More than a mere getting technique, this is a daily practice which builds the capacity of mind. And what we now know because of new insights in science, it also is very salutary. It has a healing effect on the brain itself when we give it good, orderly direction. God. So you all got a pamphlet called How to Give a Spiritual Treatment, which is not really old, but I don't know when this was written or from what work it was taken of Dr. Holmes, but I bet it was in the 40s or 50s. Not first generation material. And I am actually going to read a good deal of this because I'm going to encourage you to take this home and to really start working with it. Now, we generally, when we treat, we generally do pick a particular thing because that gives us something to focus on. So, yes, why not? But the deep purpose, there's an immediate superficial purpose addressing the needs of this life, but the deep purpose is the one that's really important. The deep purpose is that we are increasing our capacity of mind, of consciousness, of soul. Increasing its capacity to be strong and to be able so that we are even more able to have a life of our liking in this world and yet be fit and flexible when we go on off to the other shore. You're doing important work for your immortality every time you treat. Gives extra meaning to it. Extra meaning to it. Where did Dr. Holmes get this idea for treatment? That's always a fair question. I'm not 100% sure, but there are one or two times when, this will make Reverend Tricia laugh, I trust my intuition about something. At least once a year, something will come to me, and gosh darn it, I know I'm right. But the way, the format of giving treatment is taken from the Lord's Prayer. All y'all may have heard of it. If not in the church of your birth, in your 12-step meeting, and 100% of us share either one of those two things. Some both. We all know the Lord's Prayer. And that is the format for spiritual mind treatment. 5 steps right there. Let's go through this. You can read along if you like. You don't have to. Dr. Holmes writes, take definite time at least twice each day to be alone, sit down, compose your mind, and think about God. Well, when I read a sentence like that, I think, well, what the heck do you mean, think about God? You know, do you sit there and think about angels flying around, or what think about God? What does that mean? Think about God as the good, orderly direction that sustains the whole cosmos. That's the big idea. Try to arrive at a deep sense of peace and calm. Then assume the attitude of faith in a power greater than you are. That's quite easy, for surely it's obvious there is a power greater than we are. By whatever name we call it, it doesn't matter. But whatever it is that sustains this whole earth and its orderly and abundant functioning, it doesn't have anything to do with me. My life is an emergent property of all the stuff that's going on this planet. And so there is a power greater than I, and that power is for life. Very often we say for good, and sometimes what's going on the planet doesn't look all that good. Nevertheless, it is for life. Next, say the words. And the practice is to speak them aloud. You know the old Yiddish expression, from your mouth to God's ear? Where do you think God's ear is? If not here, where? Speak. Get your attention. Get your attention. Speak the words. He writes, "The words I speak are the law of good, and they will produce the desired result because they are operated on by a power greater than I am. Good alone goes from me, and good alone returns to me." Yes, I can get behind that. Now you are ready to give a specific treatment for yourself. Begin by saying, "This word is for myself. Everything I say is for me and about me." It might be helpful to remember that you are an expression of the living God. "It is the truth about my real self." Yes. Say, "There is one life. That life is God. That life is perfect. And that life is my life now." Very simple, yes. There is one life, yes. That life is God, yes. That life is perfect, and that life is my life now. Say this slowly and with deep meaning. Get your own attention. Get your own attention. Now, Dr. Holmes gets specific. He makes a specific claim. In the next line, he says, "My body is a manifestation of the living spirit." Yes. "It is created and sustained by the one presence and the one power. That power is flowing in and through me now, animating every organ, every action, every function of my physical being. There is perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, and perfect elimination. There is no congestion, no confusion, and no inaction." Now, those last couple of sentences, that's kind of a holdover from the early 1900s, when people were really, quite frankly, totally obsessed with congestion and digestion and elimination. Quite specifically, it's why this is the time when Kellogg's Corn Flakes were invented to promote healthy movement of the lower tract. You know, American culture was obsessed with this. And a lot of new thought is very much in step with that idea. Nevertheless, it is true that life flows through me as love and manifests as harmony and as peace. There is no fear, no doubt, no uncertainty in my mind. I am letting that life, which is perfect, flow through me and become my life. It is my life now. There's one life, and that life is my life now. All statements of truth, simple, pure statements of truth. So if you ever hear us or a practitioner saying, "What is the spiritual mind treatment?" It's a logical series of statements about truth. We're not making wild, insane claims about things that are not true. So much of our early affirmation work is that I'm a famous Broadway star. I've got millions of dollars. And every cell in your being is going, "You so do not have millions of dollars. You can't even pay your credit card bill. Who do you think you're kidding? The Almighty? Not." Right? Right. But what is true? It's a big universe. This world, the planet we live on, has been evolving in an orderly and abundant, a rich and diverse way for billions of years, providing sustenance and health. This is a fact that is true. These are the laws of nature and the God of nature, as we can understand it, as we can wrap our head around it. Only say things that are true, so there can be a sense of harmony between your thinking mind and your deep self. Don't tell it any fibs. You're not kidding anybody. All right, now that's how you set up a treatment. That's the first half of it, right? And again, I'll do this quickly, but, you know, how is this like the Lord's Prayer? Well, when we give a treatment, we acknowledge the presence, and then we state that there's a unity with the presence, right? So, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's one holy thing that is going on. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As above, so below. There is only one thing going on, and it is the unmanifest law, and it manifests here as the same thing. So everything that is here is an emanation from the ground of being. So there is complete unity because I'm here. Duh. Very simple. All right. Now, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. That's making a specific claim on consciousness, isn't it? And what is our daily bread? It's anything that nourishes this life experience. Anything at all. So here, in the format of how to give an effective treatment, is where we do make a claim for the sake of the conscious mind being able to grab on to something. In treating for conditions, use affirmations on the other side of this pamphlet, selecting paragraphs which apply to your need. Okay, you can look at these when you get home. But claim something for the sake of demonstrating, for the sake of proving that we are in this lifetime. I know Dr. Walker didn't like the word channel, and I don't much like it either, but we are an opportunity. We are an opportunity so that the divine might be made manifest in this world, so that law might be seen in action in this world. So make a claim on consciousness of some kind. One of these affirmations is, I know exactly what to do in every situation. Every idea necessary to successful living is brought to my attention now. Okay, that's good. Next, deny everything that contradicts this. Well, why is that the next step? I don't know, because it says, lead us not into temptation. That's a denial. But deliver us from evil. Ooh, opportunity for another affirmation. If I know exactly what to do in every situation, confusion no longer blesses me. I've learned everything that I need to learn from feeling or telling myself, I don't know what to do. Boring. Next, the doorway to ever-increasing opportunities for my self-expression is open before me. How about that? Truth. That can't not be the truth. It is a Quaker teaching that the good Lord does not open doors, but the good Lord closes doors. So you might realize that that which I was obsessed with was only one out of a trillion possibilities for my life. Stop staring at the door that's closed, and for the love of God, turn around and look at everything else that you might do in this world. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. You have now, this is easy, right? Why wouldn't you do this? It's so hard to treat. You have now reached a place in realization which you enter into the feeling of assurance that comes from a consciousness of the divine presence in and around through you, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So it is. So it is. That's all you need. You do this, we do this as a set of training wheels. We follow the format as a set of training wheels. And you can do this in particular twice a day for 1,000 years without being bored with it. But you also don't have to give a step-by-step spiritual mind treatment every time you want to pray or affirm. The net result of a practice, of any practice, is to get us to a new normal, to higher ground, if you will, where we started this morning. I can't imagine being who I was 30 years ago when I became aware of Science of Mind. Just white knuckle, desperate, person. If nothing, and praise God, there have been so many good demonstrations in my life, if nothing has happened other than the fact that my life went from being a white-knuckle experience to one of ease, that's almost enough for one lifetime, to truly know that life is not against me. There may not be any God up there that's also going to give me any bonuses, but being incarnate on this planet is bonus enough, is blessing enough. And I know that my work is to amuse and delight the Creator with what I will do with it. We have to practice. If you want results, you have to practice. And this is a practice that is not painful. It is effort, yes. It is effort. But there ain't no heavy lifting with this. I'm not asking you to crunch your abs or anything here twice a day. This is work in consciousness, but I can guarantee you it's the best possible work that you can do in your life. We have wonderful practitioners. They're always happy to treat with you. Because, you know, as I say, I can't pray for you or treat for you any more than I can go on a vacation for you. But I can do it with you. And, of course, I am always delighted to do that, too. The goal is that you will be doing this by yourself and increasing your spiritual capacity for the purpose of preparing for the great ongoing that you will experience, and then in the short run, being a blessing to everyone you meet. I see you as a blessing. I hope you do too. God bless you, friends.